Song of Solomon, chapter 5. Do I go to 10:35, Brother Asbury? Okay. Song of Solomon 5, verse 16. Very familiar verse. He is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. This is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. The book of Song of Solomon, of course, is an allegory, a symbolic representation. The book draws a picture of a Shulamite woman, a bride, and a man, a bridegroom, in love and communion with one another. We, of course, realize that the woman, the bride, represents the Lord's church as the bride of Christ. The man, the bridegroom, represents the Lord Jesus Christ. So the book is a beautiful picture of the special relationship that exists between Christ and his church. But there are also many personal applications for you and I as individual children of God. In verses 2 through 5 of this chapter, the Shulamite woman is, just by way of background, is lying upon her bed. She's almost asleep when she hears the voice of her bridegroom calling to her from the outside of the door. She hears his persistent knocking upon the door, and he is saying, "Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled." She's conscious enough to hear and to recognize his voice, but at this time she's more concerned with her rest and does not want to be inconvenienced at this time. By the time she finally gets up and goes to the door, he's gone. Realizing what she's done, she goes out into the streets looking for him. In verse 8, she comes upon the daughters of Jerusalem. And she says to them, "If you see my beloved, tell him that I am sick of love," or sick with love. They respond in verse 9, "What is thy beloved more than another beloved?" In other words, what makes him so special? Just what makes him so special? She then went on to give a description of him in verses 10 through verse 16. In verse 10, notice the very first three words. She says, "My beloved is." There's a message right there. "My beloved is." And then she, of course, goes on to describe him. But she went on to say, "My beloved is the chiefest among 10,000. He's the chiefest. That is, he's the greatest. He is the dominant one. He is the outstanding one. He is the preeminent one. He is the significant one. He is number one," is what she is saying. She then, again, in verses 11 through 16, gives a further description. But you notice in each one of those verses, verses 11 through 16, the first word of each verse is his. His. Her mind is completely saturated with him. Her mind is 100% upon him. And as she gives her description, I see the emotion is building within her as she attempts to express the inexpressible. And then she comes down to verse 16 and she says, "He is altogether." There's another message. He is altogether. But she says, "He is altogether lovely." That is, he is entirely, he is completely lovable. He is entirely and completely attractive and beautiful and delightful. And then with a heart filled with praise, with a heart filled with amazement and thanksgiving, she then says, "This is my beloved. This is my friend." And I believe that when she spoke these words, she was under the influence of overwhelming emotion. And I want to take the thought this morning from those words, "He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. This is my friend." And I want to speak this morning on "This is my beloved friend." A friend, of course, is one of the greatest blessings on earth. This world is full of sorrow, full of trials, full of tribulations, full of difficulties, obstacles. The world can be very lonely for a child of God. It can be a very barren and very unsatisfying place for a child of God. But oh, what a difference a friend can make. But I'm not speaking today of a fleshly friend. I'm speaking today of a temporal friend. The friend that I declare unto you today is a friend that is far greater than any other, far superior than any other, far more influential than any other. I want to describe to you today this friend. And when I am done, I will have failed miserably to adequately describe him. When I'm done, I will need to go to my beloved friend, and say, "Forgive me for not describing you as you deserve." There's no way that we can describe Jesus Christ. But these books that we hold in our hand, the Word of God, does paint a portrait of Jesus Christ, our friend. And as I read this book, as I search this book, as I meditate upon this book, I get a glimpse, just a glimpse, of my altogether lovely, beloved friend. My beloved is, she says, my beloved is. I want you to know this morning that my beloved is Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name occurs 942 times in the New Testament. It is the most precious name in all the world. It is the most lovely name that ever was. It is the most beautiful name that has ever been. It is the most meaningful name that ever was. Jehovah saves. It is a name that speaks of the power of God. It is a name that speaks of the grace of God. It is a name that speaks of the love of God. It is the most influential name that ever was. By the name of Jesus, demons fled. By the name of Jesus, disease and suffering have been overcome. Never has there been a name that has stirred more passion than the name of Jesus. In some, it stirs the passion of love, while in others, the passion of hatred. In some, it stirs the passion of joy and thanksgiving, while in others, it stirs the passion of anger and wrath. But the name of Jesus has brought more comfort to the dying than any other name. The name of Jesus has brought more comfort to the sick than any other name. The name of Jesus has brought more cheer to the despondent than any other name. It has brought more hope to the hopeless than any other name. The name of Jesus has put more smiles upon people's faces than any other name. Amen. Truly, it is the most influential name of all names. Amen. The name Amen. Jesus. Not only is it precious, not only is it lovely, not only is it beautiful and meaningful, influential, it is the greatest. It is the greatest of all names. We read in Philippians 2. Verses 9 and 10, that the name of Jesus is above every name. Amen. And that word above, of course, simply means his name is higher than any other name. His name is over all other names. His name is superior to any other name. It is a name that takes precedence over all other names. It is a name that has the preeminence. It is a name that goes beyond all names. His name is Jesus. And this is my beloved friend, Jesus. It is the most illustrious of names. It is the most important of names. In fact, we read in Acts 4 and verse 12, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby they must be saved. There's no name more important than the name of Jesus. You see, outside of the name of Jesus, outside of Jesus, there is utter destitution. Outside of Jesus Christ, there is no forgiveness. Outside of Jesus Christ, there is no righteousness before Almighty God. Outside of Jesus Christ, there is no acceptance with God the Father. Outside of Jesus Christ, there is no redemption. There is no justification. We are destitute without Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, there is no reconciliation. There is no adoption into the family of God. Outside of Jesus Christ, there is no hope for any one of us. This is my beloved, Jesus. Oh, what a name. Jesus. Jesus. Without him, you will always come short of the glory of God. My friend's name is Jesus. And as the Shulamite woman said in Song of Solomon 1 in verse 3, his name is as ointment poured forth. His name is Jesus. He is the chiefest. He is altogether lovely, and he is my beloved friend. Amen. My beloved is Jesus, and he is God. John chapter 10 and verse 30, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Paul said in the book of Colossians, for in him, that is in Jesus, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells. And in Hebrews, he is the brightness of the Father's glory. He is the express image of his person. My friend's name is Jesus. He is the mighty God. He is the Lord of all. He is the Lord of lords. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of glory. He is God, and he is my friend. Amen. Amen. He is infinite. He is unlimited. He is unsearchable. He is immeasurable. He is incomprehensible. In fact, we read in Colossians 3 and verse 11, he is all. He is everything. He is everything. He is the chiefest. He is altogether lovely. And he is my beloved friend. As God, he is eternal. He is without beginning. He is without end. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. And he is everything in between. He is the immutable God. He is the immortal one. He is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is immutable. Even though in this life all is perishing, all is fading, all is passing away, but my beloved is. No matter what you're going through today, no matter what your trial, no matter what your difficulty, no matter what your affliction, my beloved is. Amen. Amen. Has not changed. He has not changed. Amen. He is omnipotent. He is the possessor of all power in heaven and in earth. He is the creator. He is the architect. He is the sustainer of the universe. We read in Colossians 1 and verse 17, by Him all things consist. All the movements, all the developments, all the actions are directed by the word of His power. And oh, how amazing that He's my friend. This is my friend. He is King. He is Master. He is the one who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Amen. He is omniscient. He is the owner of all. He is holy. He is spotless. He is pure. He is impeccable. In other words, He is without sin. He is without any fault. He is without any flaw. He is without any defect. He is without any blemish. He is without any weakness. We can say with the Shulamite woman, yay, He is altogether lovely. Amen. Yes, He is altogether lovely. Amen. There's nothing in Him that is unlovely. There is no spot. There is no blemish to be found. My friend, my beloved Jesus is God, and He is also the gracious, the merciful, the compassionate Savior of the guilty. Amen. He is the one and only Savior of the ungodly. Amen. The one and only Savior Amen. Of the filthy. And the wicked and the vile. He is what every depraved, dead, guilty, enslaved, unrighteous sinner needs. Jesus Christ. Because of Him, there is life, but spiritually dead. Because of Him, there is pardon for the guilty. Because of Him, there is justification for the condemned. Because of Him, there is nearness for those who by nature are afar off from God. Because of Him, there is cleansing for the polluted. Because of Him, there is reconciliation for the enemies of God. Because of Him, there is freedom for those who are enslaved in sin and enslaved in by Satan. Because of Him, there is acceptance for the unacceptable. We are accepted in the Beloved. Because of Him, there is riches for the spiritually bankrupt. My beloved is the one and only Savior of sinners. He is the one and only Savior. He is the only Redeemer. He is the chiefest. He is altogether. He is complete. He is altogether lovely. And He is my beloved friend. He is my Savior. My beloved is Jesus. He is God. He is the Savior. And as such, He left all the majesties and splendor and all the glory and all the praise of heaven and came to this sin-cursed earth in a body of flesh. And lived a perfect life of righteousness for me. He, out of love for my soul, left the glories of heaven. He came from heaven so that I, a hell-deserving sinner, could go to heaven. This is my friend. He became the Son of Man that I could become a Son of God. This is my beloved friend. He, though he was king, though he was king of kings, he had no place to lay his head. Though he was Lord of lords, he was often hungry, thirsty, and poor. Amen. He is the chiefest. He is the greatest. He takes precedence over all. And yes, he is altogether, he is everything. And he is altogether lovely. And he is my beloved friend. My beloved is Jesus. He is God. He is the Savior of sinners. And as such, he loved me and took all my sin upon himself. All my sins. I mean every single one of them. All of my sins in all of their filthiness, in all of their vileness, they were all placed upon Jesus Christ. Amen. All of my hatred was placed upon him. All the lies that I would ever tell or think, they were all placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. All of my murmurings, all of my complainings, all of my rebellions, they were all placed upon him. All of my covetousness, all of my selfishness, all of my stubbornness, they were all placed upon Jesus. All my rejections of God, all of my wanderings from God, all my pride, they were all placed upon Jesus Christ. All of my irreverence, all of the inward wickedness was all placed upon him. All my sinful imaginations, all of my self-will, they were all placed upon Jesus. Amen. All my unforgiveness, all the hardness of my heart, and all the backbitings, and all the coldness, and all the indifference, and on and on and on we could go. Amen. All of my sin, in all of its filthiness, in all of its vileness, was placed upon Jesus Christ. Behold the altogether lovely Jesus with all your sins upon him. Behold him. Get a good look. Get a good look of the altogether lovely one with all your sins placed upon him. Though he was without sin, he was made sin for us by taking our sin upon himself. God the Father looked down upon his beloved Son and saw all of my sin, and God poured down his wrath upon his Son. Read Isaiah 53. It was God that bruised him. It was God that smote him. Man did the worst they could, but it was God who poured his wrath down upon my friend, Jesus Christ, to punish my sin. Behold him dying. Behold him dying in your stead. Behold his nail-pierced hands and feet. Amen. Behold his thorn-crowned brow. Behold his agony. Behold his death. No one ever stooped so low as Jesus. And he did it for me. This is my beloved friend. My beloved is Jesus. He is God. He is the Savior who loved me so much as to leave heaven's glories, take my sin upon himself, and then he arose victorious over sin, victorious over death, victorious over the grave. And it is the same Jesus who brought me out of the depths of sin. He brought me out of the filth. He brought me out of the vileness, and the putridness, and the sickness of sin. You see, I was trapped in a horrible pit. Amen. And it was Jesus who came to that pit and brought me out of that deep. And oh, we have no idea how deep. Brought us out of that deep, slimy, clinging mud of sin. It was Jesus. It was Jesus who saved me out of the depths of spiritual death. It was Jesus who brought me from the death and the dread and the doom of sin. It's all because of Jesus. It was Jesus who brought me out of the depths of unrighteousness. It was Jesus who brought me out of the depths of defilement. It was Jesus who brought me out of the depths of guilt. It was Jesus that brought me out of the depths of condemnation. He is the chiefest. He is the altogether lovely. And he is my beloved friend. This Jesus is the Savior of sinners. And as such, he can save the chief of sinners. And this he did for me. He can deliver the sinner from the burden of sin. Amen. And give them peace with God. Amen. And this he did for me. Amen. He can wash away the vilest stains of sin and make a man's soul whiter than snow. Amen. And this he did for me. Amen. He is the chiefest. He is the altogether lovely. This is my beloved friend. Amen. You see, I never walked this earth alone. My Savior, my friend, is always there. I will never die alone. I'll never be sick alone. He's always there. When I get up in the morning, he is there. When I go to bed in the evening, he is there. When I walk through the day, he is there. There is no greater friend than Jesus. He now sits at the right hand of God, majesty on high. He dwells in the highest conceivable honor and dignity. All the angels adore him, and all the blood-washed host in heaven worship him. And one day we too will be able to praise him as he deserves. Oh, we try here, but we fail. We fail miserably. But there's coming a day. There's coming a day in which we'll all bow before that throne and worship him and sing the praise that is his due. Amen. I believe today that we would serve the Lord more faithfully if we just knew Him better. If we just fell more and more and more in love with Jesus. The reason many cannot live for Him today is because they just don't love Him enough. How can you not love Him? How can you not love the one who saved your soul? He's worthy. He's worthy of honor. We're to honor Him with our lives. We're to honor Him by the way we speak, by the way we dress, by the places we go. We are to honor Him. And that should not be difficult. Because we love Him. We love Him. If you have a problem today serving the Lord, you need to really be honest with yourself. And you really need to be honest with God. And you really need to examine your love for the Lord. You know, I think of the Lord's question to Peter three times, "Lovest thou me?" And I believe we can all answer that question. We that are saved, "Yes, Lord, but not like I should. Help me, Lord, to love you more." And I pray today that we would go from here loving Him more and more each day.